You're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums Was Here Before You Die. Alright, for this episode, we'll be talking about Pet Shop Boys behavior. In the room, I have Rob.
Oh, hey, buddy.
And on the line, I have Ben.
Hi.
And Kyle.
Birch. How can you expect to be taken seriously?
Behavior by the Pet Shop Boys is the Forced You album, released on the 22nd of October 1990 on Parlophone Records. The producer was the Pet Shop Boys and Harold Faltermeyer. The genre is synth pop and dance pop, and I'm going to read from All Music Reviews, Stephen Thomas Erwine. Behavior was a retreat from the deep dance textures of Introspective, as it picked up on the carefully constructed pop of Actually. In fact, Behavior functions as the Pet Shop Boys' bid for mainstream credibility, as much of the album relies more on pop craft than rhythmic variations. Although it's a subtle maneuver, it would have been rather disastrous if the results weren't so captivating. Tennant takes this approach seriously, singing the lyrics instead of speaking them. That doesn't necessarily give the album added emotional baggage. All of the distance and detachment in the duo's music is not a hindrance. It's part of the concept. But it does result in an ambitious and breathtaking pop album, which manages to include everything from the spiteful "How can you expect to be taken seriously?" to the wistful "being boring." All right, what do we think of Pet Shop Boys' behavior?
Dude, I really loved this week.
Yes, thank you. Yes, this record's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty immaculate.
I just could not get into it.
It's got enough funk in it to for me to overlook some of the other aspects. But honestly, like coming off of a... Sex Packets, like these song lengths made more sense to me, and my butt never really stopped shaking.
Nice, Rob. Yeah,
yeah. Kyle,
as
please.
A big PSB fan, I had the first two records on vinyl. Third one's good. There's good stuff on the third record.
Do they say PSB? What is that, a real thing?
How much time did you save taking those one syllable words and then breaking it down to that?
It's a three word title. He can acronym it if he wants.
I'm trying to save everybody's valuable time. If you want to draw this out, that's fine. I just value our listeners' time more.
Thank you,
Mo.
Thank you, Kyle.
The PSBs, you know, that first record, perfect. Second record, actually, it's amazing. Third record. Yeah, that's fine. This one, Birch was so not into this record. Let me give it a few spins.
Where is it getting you?
This record's incredible.
It landed right with the dance.
It's more melancholy. It's got a lot more orchestra hits than maybe it should have.
It has just the right amount of orchestra hits.
Thank you.
Got on our listening list.
I was trying to capitulate
nice,
there.
Changing autumn weather too. This is a nice crispy weather album.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that, Ben?
I love this record.
I had never heard it before.
Me neither. It had me from the first song. I thought "Being Boring" was like a beautiful pop song.
I was getting texts from Birch being like, this new record's boring, and I was like, oh, let's put on track one.
Boring.
We would never be boring. I was like, oh, this is pretty good, actually. I love this record. Yeah, Birch.
Is this Sophistopop?
It is.
Yeah, I would say
yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. It there is you go. Prime Sophistopop.
Finally,
some Sophistopop that you're into. All right, production. Let's just get this out of the way.
That 808.
great production. Headphones, you know,
immaculate.
What I'm hearing in the production and recording, mastering, really, really good. So let me just,
thank you for your honesty.
Yeah, no, I'll give it due credit with the sort of analog synthesizers that the Harold Faltermeyer is bringing to this album for sure. And
XLF
playing very good. I think where I get hung up, I know it's intentional. Detached vocals, I do think they work a lot of the time. I do think that the repeated themes, the sort of repeated choruses, where I'm just like, all right, and being boring, good song, but there's a lot of them that have this sort of like repetition of the like, what would you say, the chorus, and then also it has this like one mode, has like a unified mode, which I know is intentional.
And I think I think the one of the things that you don't like about this is the drum machine.
Probably.
I think if this was a,
I thought he would like that.
I think if this was a drummer, it had a little bit more of like a, it wasn't as rigid as it is. Mm-hmm. I think that it might have swayed you.
Okay.
Yeah, we're right now. We've got to face the truth in our cans, and that just has one of the best rando synth, like just little fucking punches that just when that came in, that's when I was like, and now I'm going to marry this record.
Yeah, Rob. Yes.
Now we are fucking betrothed.
There's a lot of like little flourishes on this record that just. The more you listen to it, it's just, this record was a fucking treat for me. I figured that, I just assumed they didn't do anything interesting after like 87, but.
Oh, no, they did it interesting shit in the fucking 90s, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
I think I just, after that other album, which was 80s dance and quirky, this one felt like a 90s. I don't want to say soft. I don't want to say like adult contemporary.
It sounds weird to say. They
yeah.
They kind of shaved the edges off of Pet Shop Boys.
I don't know if adult contemporary is the right term, but you're not far off.
Right. There's something about it that it just feels very subtle.
A lot of this is not dance music.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I'm confused because the backing tracks, it's like, oh, dancey house beat, but this is I'm not supposed to dance this, and maybe my brain is just like can't interpret like what this music is because it has the sort of dance beats, but
yeah,
doesn't make me.
Like, it's sophisticated pop music for grown ass adults.
Okay,
I feel like it's a more mature. I mean, I don't know, the compositions are more complex.
So complex.
It's a more melancholy record. It's more introspective.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. I think it's great. There's complex stuff going on here. I mean, I love the Pet Shop Boys, but
I do think too. The other thing I thought of, they rely a little heavily on the hooks, which I wanted it to be a little more. I don't know.
A little more about the grooves.
Yeah. Yeah. I want it to be a little bit more about the grooves, a little less about the hooks and the sort of like repeated theme, like lyrics.
How do you feel about the Bobby Brown beat? How do you expect to be taken seriously?
Isn't that about Morrissey?
Yeah. Which is amazing because Johnny Marr is on the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Johnny Marr plays on My October Symphony.
And I'll tell you, my October Symphony, Walking Through the Woods, wonderful Walking Through the Woods.
Thanks, music. Rob. Yes.
Wonderful. It's October, so that makes sense.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
They had me at October.
They had me when they knew what month it was.
1 out of 12 ain't bad. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this fucking New Jack Swing beat, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Again, I like the production, like what they're doing. But it's just like when the vocals continue to like, how can you like it just repeats?
I get that, but I feel like there's a lot of variety on this record insofar as like grooves and tones and
it's true. Matter. Yeah, they do keep it fresh.
It's literally like if the vocals weren't involved, I think you might actually.
I think I would. Yeah, yeah. I think
I
thought that too.
I think the vocals are the thing that are. Yeah. I get it, but I think this honestly kind of goes back to our similar issues with Nonstop Erotic Cabaret. Like,
yeah, yep. I had the same with Trans Europe Express.
Oh, well, the Trans Europe Express didn't have the vocal issues that we're talking about. Okay, Trans Europe Express was just a long play. But I think you're kind of honing in on a type of vocalization that you aren't too keen on.
Okay.
Because everything else like going on, like you can kind of wrap your brain around. I'm trying to. God, there was one more that I thought that we kind of like swayed you on.
You're right. You're right. It's that deadpan delivery, the monotonous,
yeah,
repetition of lyrics. I don't really like the horn stabs either. The sort of like interjection of those.
You don't like the orchestra hits?
The year was 1990, and every song had orchestra hits.
Of its time.
And, yeah.
You know, sure.
I remember being 10 years old and thinking that orchestra hits were the coolest thing to ever hear in a song because they got me so hyped.
Like, man, I wish they made a whole song of this and then Mortal Kombat came out.
Yeah, I think it might have been the Turtle Power song and then Mortal Kombat.
As far as like synth pop duos are concerned, mm-hmm. I mean, you really enjoyed the architecture and morality.
Yeah,
OMD. OMD, okay. Yeah.
That's I had to pick that one up. That one's awesome.
They have singing though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we're picking it up. I'm figuring it out.
It is just it's the pseudo singy monotone like delivery of the vocals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
Huh.
I think you're right. It sounds so campy, bored,
yep,
monotonous. And when artists use repeated lyrics like that, it stands out to me. That's what it is. It's since he's singing like this, I'm picking up every single time he's going into the chorus because he's not singing it differently. It's like a robot.
Yep.
And it's.
It's no Joan of Arc. That's for fucking sure.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't. It, yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. I just need to work through it here.
No, that's why we're here, man.
Okay.
Because cool. Musically, there is some seriously fucking amazing like shit going on.
I can tell the synth. Let's go run down what we're using here.
I didn't even look it up.
Roland 808, Roland 909 drum machines, plus a 303 bass synthesizers.
Oh, listen to the 808.
Roland Jupiter 8, which makes up the layer textures.
Oh, fun story. In the year 2022, does anyone know what a Jupiter 8 costs now?
Not a clue.
$30,000 to $40,000. Oh, wow. Okay.
Goodness gracious. God. I'll get like three used cars. Thank you very much.
Oberheim OB8.
Beautiful.
Which was blended with the Jupiter 8. Synclavier for the harp glissandos.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's mainly on being boring. But yeah, they were using it all.
Yeah.
And they wanted that sound. I thought it was really cool. They were given digital synthesizers and they said, no thanks.
Nah, man.
In 1990, you could have bought that shit for fucking $25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, we'll see about the guy who wrote Axel Foley's theme.
Yeah.
The Fletch theme.
Wait, is that what I know Harold Faltermeyer from?
Yes. And the Top Gun theme. All of those.
XLF.
That's right.
I personally would have gotten Stan Bush, but, you know.
No, they went to the Red Deer Studio in Munich, Germany to get this get this produced.
Sounds so good.
Yeah, I will say, again, up front, I said production.
Yep. Impeccable. Impeccable.
Very good.
I'm glad you guys like it. I know we sometimes have different opinions about 80s production, but
yeah,
it's just some really good headphones music.
Tennant did state that the album was inspired by fellow synth pop group. Guess who?
OMD?
No. Close, though. We just did an album by them.
808 Seat?
No, no.
The Shaman.
We just did an album by them. ABC? That we all were raving
NWA.
About.
NWA.
D-Light. Digital Underground?
Iconic Fugazi. Album. We literally just did.
Rhythm Nation. Soul to Soul.
Fellow synth pop group.
Bonnie Raitt.
Sparks.
Depeche Mode.
Oh, there it is. It's Violator. Okay.
Violator released the same year. So they saw that and they're like, we need to up our game on this one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Cool, man.
That's what happens when there's a leap forward.
Do you guys know the origin of the orchestra hit?
No, I never looked it up. Tell me more.
Turtle Power from
No, it was popularized with use of the Fairlight. But the sample is from Igor Stravinsky's Firebird Suite.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's like, I just want everyone to play the same note right now. That's how you do an orchestra hit, right? Everyone play the same note right now?
Yep.
That'd be a weird ass... So from Firebird Suite, that'd be a strange atonal giant mm-hmm. orchestra bah.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's great. Did love some of the themes of this, including being boring, about Zelda Fitzgerald, quote, she refused to be bored chiefly because she wasn't boring.
I like that mindset. I think that's a healthy way of thinking.
Yeah. Also, we were talking about My October Symphony, the song about the decline of the Soviet Union.
Interesting.
So, yeah. What a interesting... cool themes running throughout it. Kyle, since there was one quote by a reviewer, Greg Knott from the Chicago Tribune, that made me want to like listen and listen and listen, try to get this. He says, may strike some listeners as even wimpier and blander than earlier releases.
Yeah, I saw that quote.
But its subtle brilliance emerges with repeated plays. And I think that's a...
I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Interesting.
First, I'm so glad you saw that quote because, yeah, after my third listen, I was still seeing your text. I was like so disappointed and sad.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Because, like I said, I'm not the hugest fucking Pet Shop Boys fan, but I do have their first two records on vinyl, and I love them. And yeah, this does sound like them with the edges sanded off a little bit, which isn't like the most attractive buy-in. You know, when you're listening to something, but I thought it was more sophisticated and a little melancholy and a little more mature, and they're using new equipment. Like, it was great hearing that 808 thumping.
Or old, you know, equipment.
Fair enough.
Once you guys told me too, I didn't have anybody to talk to about it, but once you guys said, oh, this isn't for dancing. Like, I think something is starting to shift in my brain to be like, oh, so My October Symphony, this isn't a dance track? I that's the thing.
Sad dancing.
Okay. Is that what we're doing? Is this like the track to like bring down the party?
You like the Smiths and the Cure. You know what sad dancing is, Birch.
Yeah, yeah, but it has like a 120 beat.
Well, yeah.
There's still Pet Shop Boys using the 808.
Okay, okay.
I mean, this is right around the time of when I got really into electronic dance music as a kid. Like, this is around the time of Moby, you know.
But that's exciting. That's the thing, is I find this very reserved. So I would just kind of be, just kind of like shimmying a little bit, I mean, I guess.
This seems like it's right off the boat. This has enough of a disco, at least the what track is this? This is
October.
No, this is an October. This is the one that comes after.
Is it not?
It is.
Oh well.
Yeah. No, it's my
guess what, guys? Guess what, guys? I have somehow made this much whiskey happen into my body. Hey. So
cheers,
hey,
dude.
Hey, friendo.
Nice humble brag, bros.
So yeah, sorry. But no, this one does sound a little bit like it's got a little more yacht rock to it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. It's a little
sophistipop.
Okay. Maybe that's also why I'm not so in.
It could be, man.
I'm not into the disco and this kind of
Bursch, I'm not gonna lie, like I remember you being against this a couple of weeks ago, and I've listened to it like four times since, and I just love it more and more.
Okay.
Me too. This one really grew on me. It took a minute, but it happened.
I didn't approach this as a dance
techno
album
for the morning after.
Right off the bat.
Okay.
I listened to this album. The first time I listened to it, I think it was like first thing in the morning, and like I was still waking up and like sipping my coffee and like booting up the computer and stuff, and like It hit my ears really well that first rainy, chilly early October morning. I was like, "Oh, this is nice. I like this." I didn't try to dance though.
Does the Cool World soundtrack show up?
No, it does not.
Patreon episode.
I think I read someone saying mentioning Cool World soundtrack in relationship to this album. Yes, I don't know who it was. I did want to say Being Boring was not played normally on tour, but after they played it in concert, there was a fan who talked to them and talked them into, you know, playing it more. And after that, it became, you know, a staple of their live set. It was Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, my God.
He was like, I'd love to hear it. I really like that song. I think you should play it more. And they did.
Love it.
Axl Rose loved Being Boring.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Being Boring like about the AIDS epidemic? Like someone that like Neil Tennant grew up with, that like they were like hanging in the same crowd, doing the same stuff. And then like Neil went to be like famous and successful, and his friend went to like grow ill and contract AIDS, and just like his conflicted feelings he was feeling about that. I think it's a really cool song.
But also, this song fucking rips. Is this, what is this?
Is this So Hard?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So Hard.
Yeah.
Elaborate. Why is it rip?
What is it rip, Kyle?
Number one, it sounds like an NBA song when people run onto the court.
No, it doesn't.
Is it the orchestra hits?
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Yeah. Claire was like, wow, they really went on it. All in on that song with that one sound. And I was like, do you mean the orchestra hits? She was like, what? He's
I find it unusual though, because even those orchestra hits, it's like the dynamics of this are, it has small dynamics. Everything is right in the middle. What do you think about it having very few dynamics? I feel like every song, those orchestra hits are not big. There's nothing small. Everything fits right in here. Just think back to when we're talking about Janet Jackson.
There's no loud soft at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It does exist in this rectangle.
Yes. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It doesn't bother me for some reason.
Does it? Because it feels comfortable, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So everything is compressed or or sort of
squished
into this one cohesive sound. And I think that's also something I find very interesting about this record.
Yeah.
Is that it doesn't have this, when you hear a hit, when you hear those like melodic things, it doesn't change. It just feels like, you know, everything is just like right there in the middle.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm going to go positive. Personally, I think that I really enjoyed it, man. Like it hits a lot of like poking spots for me and what I like with, melody, harmony, and just like a composition with synthesizers. Honestly, a lot of this kind of still reminds me just a little bit of the.
Yeah, sure.
Like it takes a little bit off of that, and I think it pushes it a little bit further, because I don't necessarily mind the whiny monotone aspect mm-hmm. of the lyrical content and the way the vocals are delivered. And yeah, I fucking love it.
Cool.
Yeah. Positive.
I'm going to go neutral. I mean, I do like a lot of what it's doing. I could just never get into it. It's like something I couldn't get over to give it a positive, because I just won't come back to it. And I do think the production's great. Like, and if you listen to the first song, I feel like you're going to know if you're in
yep.
the whole way through. Like, it doesn't, or if you could probably almost put it on shuffle, although there's some variation, but yeah, that first song, once you listen to it, you're probably going to know if it's for you.
I'm going to go positive from this. I don't think I was on the Pet Shop Boys episode with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever just sat and listened through an entire Pet Shop Boys album before. I think previous to listening to Behavior, I probably would have thought that I like Pet Shop Boys' greatest hits because they make good pop dance songs. So I had no idea what to expect going into Behavior. I didn't really approach it as a dance album. I kind of approached it as like a sophisticated pop album, almost mm-hmm. like OMD or something like that. And I was really into it from the get-go. The one song that actually I didn't like as much on first listen was probably the danciest one, the New Jack Swing of how can you expect to be taken seriously. I just thought it kind of didn't really fit in with the vibe and mood of the rest of the record. But then later on that same day, I caught myself whistling it. So yeah. I'm like, well, if I'm walking around whistling it, then there's something there, you know? Yeah. But I've got like 8 out of 10 songs starred on this. I think I just like this record.
Cool. Yeah. I would revisit actually their other album.
And, for sure.
Because it was in the book and it has a lot of.
Is that with like West End Girls?
No, no, it doesn't have Western Girls.
Does it have?
It has Shopping.
Does it have You're Always on My Mind? What's on Actually? But I should know what's on Actually.
Dude, you know exactly how much whiskey I've drank.
I'm going to quit asking because I feel like I'm just
going to. I'm going to say this much. We do have one more Pet Shop Boys coming up in the book. But I would encourage everyone to listen to the Sparks record from 1998, Interior Design. And just kind of see how it holds up to what Pet Shop Boys are doing right here. You might be pleasantly surprised. But yeah, the Very is the next and last of the Pet Shop Boys.
That looks like an orange Lego?
Yeah, the one and the CD actually was that same rubbery material. It's pretty fucking cool.
I remember seeing that in the store when it came out. I didn't know who the Pet Shop Boys were, but I was like, I'd never seen a CD that wasn't a clear jewel case.
Yeah,
it's iconic. It's a fucking rad record, too.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, next time we'll be talking about Happy Mondays, Pills and Thrills, and Belly Aches. Cool. All right, thanks, y'all.
Playing havoc with the peace. There's nobody high.